I'm Reen Schwarzer, and you're listening to the Giant Sword Podcast. Microphones, activate!
Hello, and welcome to this week's Giant Sword Podcast. I'm your party leader, Nick. Joining me, as always, is Taylor. Taylor!
What up? I'm in California now.
Yeah, you can tell by his plain background. His plain white background.
It's actually not plain. It's balloon wallpaper.
Balloon wallpaper.
Yeah.
That room hasn't changed for like a decade. I'm pretty sure the stuff on that shelf back there has been there for at least 10 years.
Probably.
And hasn't moved in there's, 10 years.
There's still stuff that I got as like a press thing for games that are really old. So, yep.
Yeah. All right, so this episode, we're going to be talking about the Game Awards. You know, not really fresh in our minds, but, you know, our reactions to it are still still important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember it, actually. It was that unmemorable, man. That unmemorable.
And then there wasn't, like, any JRPG news, really.
I know, that's what we're going to talk about. And then I asked a question on the Discord, how far back can you go and play generation-wise, like which JRPGs you could play? So I want to ask you that same question, and then we'll go over the responses to that question. So, and before we start, if you want to ask us questions or anything, go join our Discord. That's the best way to get your questions answered, and it's we have an awesome community, talk about JRPGs, anime, all that stuff. And if you want to buy some merch, we have a merch store. Go to GiantSwordPodcastStore.com, and we have two shirt designs, and Shaft, our resident user and artist, Shaft, has drawn a new design, which should be coming out soon, so... Once again, go to GiantSwordPodcastStore.com and you go there. The link is in the description below. All right, so let's start. Let us go to the first topic, the Game Award impressions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the Game Awards made me depressed.
Yeah, I think it's like fashionable to hate on the Game Awards, but this was the first year where I really felt like it deserved the hate it got. It felt way too long. It felt like it had way too many commercials. It felt like there was a lot of like ad integration things that were just there to make money. And I was like, this kind of relates to games, I guess. But yeah, it was, and there were some pretty cringe moments too, always.
A lot of cringe moments. I don't think there has been one good Game Awards ever. I'm going to say it right now. It's like never been good. There's some cool like, announcements, but it's always been bad, and I think it's getting worse because I think the first ones used to be like an hour and a half, and it was a bam, snap.
Yeah.
And now this one was like 3 hours. I remember we were you were doing your own thing, but on the Discord, we were watching, and we're like, oh my god, is this almost over? And we looked, and it's like, there's still 2 more hours left. What are they going to do?
Yeah, while I was watching it, I was like, okay, good. There's still plenty of time for Chrono Cross and Final Fantasy 16 and all this stuff, and it's never happened.
Yep. How sure were you that it was Chrono Cross or Final Fantasy 16 was going to actually be shown? Like,
I was way more sure about Chrono Cross than I was Final Fantasy 16, especially because the day of the Game Awards was when that collaboration event launched with Another Eden. So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. The mobile game thing is launching, and then it's the same day as the Game Awards, so they'll announce the remaster. It's perfect. But silence. And I've actually been getting a lot of comments on my channel about it. It's like, what happened? Where is it? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I was just following where the rumors were going, and I haven't heard anything since. It's just the same old thing. You know, there were some rumblings about like a PlayStation event maybe before the year was over, but we have what, a week left in the year? I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I heard about that. And I was like, oh, it's going to be crap anyway. Hey, but do you still think it's gonna happen? How much of a percentage do you think?
Oh, for sure. I think I'm like 90, 95% sure it's still happening. Because to me, like, this is the point I made in my video. It's like, why do a Chrono Cross collaboration right now that's so random? Like, why would you not like collaborate with a more popular game that just came out, a more popular JRPG that just came out? So to me, it makes no sense unless you're going to do a remaster or a remake or something that you can do the cross promotion stuff. So, and of course, you know, it showed up on that NVIDIA GeForce Now leak, which there have been so many games that were on that got announced, and they even said it's true. So I'm almost certain it's going to happen. I think it's just a matter of time at this point. What do you think, Nick?
I have no thoughts whatsoever.
None. You have no opinions.
No. I was like, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things, like, it could go either way, right? Go either way. I still believe that the Tales of Destiny HD remix, you know, something's still gonna be coming out. But, you know, whatever. This Game Awards actually just cemented. I just Nova was watching and he was like, man, I was like, man, I'm very cynical. I'm like, everything about this, I just said, this sucks. This is awful. Like, I jokingly, right? Like, joking around, but overreacting. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, a lot of this looks just blah. Like, a lot of these games just are not looking that good. And it gave me just a really sad feeling about how where the game industry is going. And then the Nintendo Indie Showcase showed up, and I watched that. And the first game, what it was, the Sea of Stars or whatever it was called,
Yeah, that game looks awesome.
that game, I remember, like, oh, I remember this game. That's exciting. And then I watched the rest, and then I just felt really sad. I was like, man, the game industry is awful. It's just everything coming out just doesn't look good at all. And I'm like, is it me? Is it me? Am I just like growing out of the games? Yeah, you think it's me?
I mean,
Because
you're just probably not looking in the right spots. I mean, there are plenty of cool looking games coming out. You know, I mean, I have a list. I did a video last year where I was like, oh, you know, 23 JRPGs you can play this year. And I'm already compiling my list for next year, and it's like 35 already. And, you know, a lot of them are games you're not gonna like Pokemon and whatever, but there's a bunch of cool looking games on there.
I watched your video. This is gonna date this episode. The top the five JRPGs that you missed that just came out.
Yeah.
That was the title, right?
Something like that. It was like a five hidden gem JRPGs you probably missed in 2021. Something like that.
And some of those actually looked interesting. I think that video actually got Asian to buy the Final Fantasy VII ripoff one.
Oh, Light Fairy
Yeah,
Tale.
he's like, I'm gonna buy that. I'm gonna play that right now.
It's super cheap. It's like less than $10. And it's not that long. And I'm like, yeah, do it, you know?
There you go. Some of those games actually did look interesting. And I was like, I want to check out. I kind of want to check out the furry Valkyria Chronicles
Oh
game.
yeah, Fuga Melodies of Steel. Yeah, I feel so bad for that game. I actually just talked, so I did an interview with the creative director for that game a while ago, and I've been sending him messages back and forth, and like they haven't even come close to making their budget back on that game. I'm like, oh man, that sucks because it's such a cool game. But you know, I think people are just averse to furries. I mean, I hate to like call it that. Like, I don't mean that derogatory way that people just look at it and go, oh, it's furries, I don't want to touch it. You know what I mean?
I think it's also it didn't get much marketing. So
That too.
if you get other YouTube channels to talk about it, I think it could boost its sales. So hopefully your video did some boosting.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, so this was also, so the developer was CyberConnect 2, and they're the ones that usually make all those Naruto games and probably a lot of Dragon Ball games. I think they made Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, I think. And this was their first self-published game, so this was like a learning experience for them. But yeah, I mean, I hope my video does it some justice. And I know I did a collab that with some other JRPG YouTubers, and there's a video coming out at the end of the year, and I know for a fact that me and somebody else also talk about Fuga in that video. So I'm hoping, you know, as these end of the year type videos keep coming out, that more people give it a chance, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the Game Awards, are you going to look forward to them next year?
I'm not going to look forward to them, but I'll watch them probably, just because why not? But I will say that, you know, JRPGs did represent well in the awards category. Of course, it was only on screen for like literally 20 seconds, but Tales of Arise won best RPG.
Yeah.
Which I think if Cyberpunk won, I think I probably would have just turned it off like immediately. And I'm like,
there was a chance. There was a chance it was
going to happen. It was nominated. Of course it was a chance. Yeah. And then Nier Replicant or whatever won for best music. Which is cool. So I was bummed Ease didn't get nominated in either category, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Ease is super niche. That's never gonna happen, but
how did you feel about the last announcement?
The Matrix thing?
They announced a freaking game engine demo.
Yeah, I think that was another thing that people were saying. Like, why would that be the last announcement? Like, I almost wonder if, like, it was part of the marketing deal or something. Like, this has got to be the last thing you show. Because there were so many, like, Jeff Keighley, I think, you know, curates this show. And I wonder if his sense of what is going to get people hyped is just way off. Because before the show, I don't know if you saw this, but he said, because earlier in the summer, he has a thing he does called Summer Games Fest, and he debuted Elden Ring gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, the Game Awards is going to be at least 4 or 5 announcements on the level of Elden Ring gameplay. And we're all like, oh, crap, what's it going to be? And then there was nothing. And we're like, what were you? I don't even know what he could have possibly been talking about.
There's one.
Like, Alan Wake 2, and like that was it.
There's one, and it was Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a big deal.
It was out of nowhere. He also thought Wonder Woman would have been was a big one.
Probably. But there's no gameplay. Yeah, it was just CG.
It would have been a big announcement if it was actual gameplay. It's like, whoa, cool! But no, it was just a model, you know, spin around thing. I'm like, oh, that's
cool.
I can't think anything else.
Maybe the Justice League, kill the Justice League one. There was gameplay for that, but that's still, I didn't even think that looked very good, frankly.
I hate how they teased Silent Hill twice in that damn thing.
I know, what the heck? It's like from the creator of Silent Hill. And that couldn't have a worse name. Slitterhead? What the hell? That's a terrible name.
I hope that remake is real. I really do.
Or what?
Because there's
Chrono Cross?
No,
for Silent Hill.
Silent Hill, because there's a rumor that a while back, that's why people are thinking, they're going to show Silent Hill this time, or they're going to show Silent Hill, because there's been a rumor that they're remaking Silent Hill. But it looks like that rumor was wrong, because all the people are working on that Slitterhead or whatever.
I don't know, I think they're called Bloober Team. They apparently signed some contract to work on a Silent Hill game, but it's not clear what it is. And I can't remember the game that they made recently. It was some game where you're like in two different worlds at the same time. And I'm going to look it up real quick, because it's going to bug me. Bloober Team.
This doesn't sound good.
I know, it's a weird name, right? Bloober Team.
Bloober Team.
Games developed the medium, yeah, and then they did Layers of Fear, and there was a Blair Witch game apparently that they made, so
okay, we'll see.
Yeah. Bunch of nothing.
We'll see what happens. All right. But speaking of the Nintendo Indie Direct thingy, other than the Star game, what else were you excited for?
At the Indie Direct?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I kind of just followed the news after the fact. So let me see if I can pull up a little something that... I think that might have been it. I think it was Sea of Stars, and that might have been...
Hold my shirt.
Grime, Baby Storm. Yeah, I don't. I think that might have been it. Honestly, I didn't watch it, like I said. But I'm kind of just looking at the, you know, the wrap up articles and seeing if there was anything that caught my interest. But
I just remember I was watching it, and then the final one was like, "This is one that you guys have been waiting for," and it was something called like Okami or whatever. Not Okami, but it started with an O, and it was just
Omori,
and I was like, "This is straight up an Undertale ripoff." That's what it looks like. It has the same kind of style and everything.
Oh yeah, no, totally. Yeah, it does.
And I was like, okay, thank you. That's cool. And I was looking at responses, and they're like, oh my god, I'm crying. I can't believe they're showing this. I'm crying. I'm like, what is this? No way. Shut up.
You know what game you might like? Because I know you like Scott Pilgrim. There was that River City Girls. Are you into beat 'em ups anymore?
I mean, I haven't played the first one. And the second one looks well made.
Did you like Scott Pilgrim just because it was a Scott Pilgrim game more than it was because it was a beat 'em up?
Dude, I don't remember, man. Because the Scott Pilgrim game was like the first piece of Scott Pilgrim media that I, you know, had. I think I got it because of the soundtrack actually, and it was a pixel beat 'em up, and I thought looked cool. And then that just drove me down to like, oh, what is this whole thing all about? And I watched the movie, and then I read the comics, and yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep. All right. But the biggest announcement was the open world Sonic game. We all know that's going to be good.
Sonic Frontiers?
Yeah. I want to be pleasantly surprised, because right now, what's it called? My hype level is negative in the negatives.
Sure.
But I could see it actually being good if they do it right. But I doubt they will. And what were you guys, what did you think about the Sonic movie, Sonic 2 movie?
It looks cool. I have to say, I really like that they kept the same voice actress from the game to do Tails for the movie. Because usually they always replace it with like a big actor or whatever, so the fact that they kept the same actor for Tails was cool. But then Idris Elba is Knuckles.
And I was like, I like it.
What is it fits. I didn't see the first movie, but apparently it's
all right. Sorry guys, my mic cut out, and if the sound on my video on my, you know, it's off sync. I'm sorry, I can't really do anything about that because we're in the middle of recording. But let's move to the next topic, Taylor.
All right.
So I asked if is it difficult to go back? Which generation is it hard for you to go back to? And a lot of people responded. But first, I want to ask you, Taylor. I already know pretty much, but I want to see if anything has changed. How far back can you go?
How far back could I go? Yeah. Generally, for anything or for JRPGs specifically?
Let's do JRPGs specifically.
I mean, I think my response is still PS1, if I've played the game, like there's some nostalgia to it. And I'll give certain games a try. But I think for the most part, like there's just been so many quality of life updates since that generation for the genre that some of those games are just like a chore to play, as much as I love them. Like I remember I went back and played Legend of Dragoon recently. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be awesome, and I played it. I was like, nope.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, like, no, it's very animations of the battles take like 5,000 hours.
Yep. Weirdly enough, like that is a problem. But to me, the thing that was annoying was the localization in that game is just horrible.
Oh, you couldn't get past that?
Yeah, it's so bad. So bad.
What do you think the main reason why you can't go back to those games? Because you said, is it just because of time sinks?
I don't think that how long they are is a problem. I just think there's just a lot of annoying BS that you just don't have to deal with anymore. Like random battles. I know people love random battles. I hate random battles. I like to be able to control when I get into a battle, either just like seamlessly get into one or like see an enemy on the screen and then run into him. And weirdly enough, you can do that in certain PS1 JRPGs, like Chrono Cross does that, where you can actually see the enemies on the map. So to me, that's it. A lot of the battle systems are just so slow and boring. So like that, you'll notice that like a lot of JRPGs from that era that have gotten remastered have added a fast forward function just because that some of those battle systems are just agonizingly slow. To me, that's usually the two big problems. Like this, to me, I love the look. Like the look is so nostalgic. I love those the way PS1 games look. I like the music. Honestly, the music's always really good. Even like the cheesy voice acting, I don't mind. But to me, it's the random battles, especially how often they occur, and then how slow the battle systems are.
Got you.
Yeah.
You just live up to your generation's reputation, man.
Yeah.
The instant gratification generation. That's what I was saying, joking about. For me, I think the earliest that I could go to, or latest, the earliest I go to, I can't play Nintendo games, NES games. I don't, except Mega Man. I can do Mega Man, but for some reason, I just can't play any other game, any other Nintendo games like Mario. I really want to play Mario 3, and I just can't play it for some reason. It just like irks me. I don't know why. Maybe if I play a remake on like the Game Boy Advance, I could do it, but I haven't spent the time. Because I love Super Mario World. Like I got that. Okay, this is gonna be called blasphemy, but I got that on the Game Boy Advance. That's when I really played it. Because I wasn't a Nintendo kid. I was a Sega Genesis kid. And then I went from Genesis to PlayStation. So I never really grew up on Nintendo. I got all my Nintendo stuff from you.
Okay.
All the Mega Man stuff. But I could play everything. You know that I could play old games. You always are like, "How do you do that? How do you not?" It's like, it's fine. It's fine. Just put when you're doing all the hard chore stuff, just put on a YouTube video and go through with it. And then when everything gets all serious, then you focus on the game. That's what I do.
It's a chore.
It's not a.
You even said it. You just said it. When it's a
Some there's
chore.
some games where you have to grind. It's just part of the design. It's how they pad it out.
And again, I don't mind grinding. It's just how slow those battle systems are. They're just so
It's like
slow.
playing Lunar, man.
Oh, dude, Lunars. The PS1 Lunar, I don't think I could play that. Even the PSP one, I don't even know if I could do it.
Why? It's super easy. I think the PSP one is, after messing around with both of them, the PSP one is far inferior than the PS1 one. And
Really?
yeah,
Why do you say that? Because it's easier?
it's super easy. There's a very annoying game design choice they had where whenever you go to like inside a building or go to the next area, the music fades out and fades back in. Fades out and fades back in for every transition, and I freaking hate that. I was like, this is so annoying. It doesn't do it in Lunar, in the PS1 version. It only does it when you're going into a new area, not into like buildings and stuff.
Okay.
And the battle, yeah, as Matt, I remember Maddie saying that the game was way too easy, and I've been playing the PS1 version. That game is hard. That game is so difficult. Oh my goodness. There's random battles where there's some enemies that just kill you instantly if they're doing the right this certain move. And sometimes you fight three of them and they all do that move and you're like dead, dead, dead. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Thanks, game.
That's kind of how I felt when I was playing SMT5 sometimes. You just run into the wrong combination of enemies and they just stun lock. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I have no chance.
Well, I guess I die.
Yep.
I think I've resetted multiple times in that game. Like I think I've lost at least an hour of game time from dying in Lunar.
In Lunar? Oh, man,
Yeah.
that's brutal.
Yeah, it happens. There are a lot of ecchi, lots of innuendo jokes in that game, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, this is a pretty you know, saucy. Okay, so I asked other people, others, to give us their impressions. So let's go for the first guy. Delph Dave said PS2 and before, because I never played them, so I don't have nostalgia glasses in a way to keep me interested. It's the graphics and playstyle for me that changed with PS3 and upwards, exception being PSP games, though. I owned multiple PSPs and loved all of them, so any game there I can play. So PS2. Taylor, you didn't really play many PS2 JRPGs, did you?
That was sort of my World of Warcraft / Madden era, weirdly enough. I'm trying to think of PS2 JRPGs that I played. Like Final Fantasy X.
Okay. Played during that era, not now.
Yeah, no, I think it was like 10. And I definitely remember buying 12 at midnight and getting the collector's edition and all that. And not really liking it, but I liked 10. And then I think that was it, honestly, until I came back from Korea. And then when I came back from Korea, that's when I played like Persona and Tales of the Abyss and all those different games. But yeah, I think it was only Final Fantasy 10 and 12, and that was it.
And RPG Maker 2, baby.
An RPG Maker 2, hell yeah.
Because when you did play RPGs, we always played the PS1 version, PS1 games. I remember, that's all we did. We only played the PS1 games that we liked. And never really played the PS2 ones. During that era, I never really played many PS2 JRPGs. That was my Unreal Tournament and Counter-Strike era. That's when I played all that. And I didn't really get back into JRPGs until the PS3 era. I did buy. I remember
what a horrible era to get back into JRPGs.
I know. But it was mostly the playing the Tales PS3 games. That was it. So like, I got to support it. And that's when I was started to really get back into Tales and started playing all the ones that I missed. And that was it.
I'll go back real quick. I remember I played, I'm just looking at a list and I'm getting refreshed here. I definitely played Dark Cloud when it was out. Mm-hmm. And I definitely played Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. And I remember being really confused when I played Kingdom Hearts 2 because I don't think we got Chain of Memories, or it came out like way later or something. And I'm like, why am I playing as this Roxas guy? What the heck is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's pretty much... I'm trying to see if there are any other big PS2 JRPGs, but those are the ones that really come to mind.
The PS2 era, I played Grandia 2. Oh, I went back to Grandia 2. And I just played horror games and... What else? And DDR.
Dude, DDR. Yeah, we play a lot of DDR on the PS2, yep. For sure.
So that was my PS2 aid days. Shaft said, anything from the NES era, since there's mostly better versions of the same game on other platforms. Well, Kreplin says the same thing. I'd say the NES, Master System. Oh, and he says the N64 and PS1. There's just obvious issues with the design philosophy to graphics to technical hurdles. The SNES, Genesis, and PS2, GameCube, Xbox obviously refines and improves on almost everything. To a lesser degree, PS3, Xbox 360 has similar issues, but not as bad. The generation does have a poor selection and a lot of performance issues, though. I do not agree with the PS1. The N64, yes. There's no JRPGs on N64 because of the cartridges.
It's like Paper Mario, and I think that's literally it.
And the technical hurdles, for sure, N64 games are really bad to look at now. They did not age well. They have not. Unless you are Super Mario 64. Even that, it still looks bad. Plays great, though.
I think Mega Man Legends still looks good today.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying on the PS1 and N64, all you have to do is emulate them, and you can make the games look great, and they'll play fine. Josiah asks, I don't have a generation I won't play, but the NES and Master System doesn't hold up well. Gabrielli says the NES, that shit is way too old for me, honestly. I grew up with the PS1 and PS2, so I can play that era easily. And the SNES still has a great JRPGs that perfectly playable. But the NES is just too jank for me. Nova Chaser says, hate to be a broken record, but NES, it has more to do with the way it's presented than the content of the game itself. The sound could be grating, awkward, menuing, high random encounter rate, balancing issues, lack of direction, limited inventory. SNES adds just the right amount of visuals and sound quality to be considered classic despite potential shortcomings. Certain PS1 games have not aged well, but since I grew up with the system, I am more forgetting the first attempts at 3D gaming. See, the 3D, I think the 3D PS1 games have certain issues, but if you play the games that are 2D sprites in a 3D world, oh, so good. They're so good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
They're game. Those are the games that you could play, except for Fire Emblem 3 and 4, because the encounter rate.
Fire Emblem, or you mean Breath of Fire?
Did I say Fire Emblem? Yeah, Breath of Fire. Breath of Fire. Great games. And they look.
Yeah, and they have a really great art style.
And they look great. Yeah, they are classic. They need to bring that back. 2D sprites with 3D backgrounds. That'd be great.
I think, honestly, and you're going to love that I'm saying this, I think the game that perfected that look is the Tales of Destiny remake. Because I remember watching you play the ending, and I was like, this look is so cool. I just loved how it looked. Yeah. And I hope they bring that over in the HD version, because I really want to play and see what Nick has been losing his mind over.
Well, you'll be like, oh, I can't wait to play. Random encounters? No!
Now, they'll fix that in the remaster. They'll give you the ability to speed it up or something.
Okay, yeah. You speed up what? The game, the battles are already fast.
That's true, huh? Yeah, that's true. See, I'm much more forgiving. I will say I'm much more forgiving of random battles if it's an action battle system, because like you said, the battles go by pretty quick. So I don't think it would bother me as much.
Jack B, usually the older generations are of more signs of age they show. So way old, not always a bad thing, but there's a higher chance I get put off by some jankiness. Cheese Hero Zero says, in response to everyone mentioning SNES and Sega Master System, I agree. However, I'd find it fun to go back and play many of them to see how everything started and how much it has changed. I'm not saying everyone has to play 40 plus hours and attempt to beat the OG JRPGs, but playing a few hours can be fun. And yep. Spaghetti says the PS3 era JRPGs are just janky.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, Spaghetti. There are like a very precious few JRPGs on PS3 that are fantastic, but for the most part, it's like all those Hyperdimension Neptunias and Time of Eternity, like all that kind of garbage. Yep.
We got the Tales series and Ni No Kuni. What else, Taylor? What else?
I mean, for you, the Trails of Cold Steel.
But that came out past, like, the PS4 is out when those came out.
That's true. Still.
Yes.
It's so funny. I mean, this is a total aside, but when I put out my top 10 PS3 JRPGs video, everybody was like, where's Persona 5? And I totally forgot that Persona 5 came out on PS3.
Hey,
it's one of the. I mean, that's probably the PS3's best JRPG, but I totally forgot it was on there.
That is true. I mean, it's true. If you only had a PS3 then and it came out, you had a good JRPG, but it was during the PS4 era. Sorry.
It was way after. I want to say it was 4 years after the PS... After the PS4 came out. Yeah.
When did it come out?
And for us, I think it came out in 2017.
So like three years.
Persona 5. Yeah, let me check.
Because we got the PS4 came out at the end of 2014.
Yeah, April of 2017. So yeah, about like 3.5 years later.
I love how everyone has my problems with the NES. I'm like, yeah, it's just too janky. I just can't play them. They're too hard. They're too hard, and it just looks awful. I don't like the look. I'm sorry. It just looks weird.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. Like, I can do Mega Man, but that's about it.
But it's funny because I could play DOS games that look just like it, but I guess they run better? I don't know. I guess maybe it's just the NES itself. Unless you're playing, like, Looney Tunes Adventures. Remember that game at CCS?
I think it was Tiny Toons.
Tiny Toons, yeah, Tiny Toons. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, that game basically was just a Mario ripoff, but it was fun. Like, playing the different characters, and they each had their own different abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
That was a cool game.
Cool game. Well, I don't know. We gotta get more in-depth of which JRPGs people should play on each generation, I think. That'd be fun. Fun topic to go into. But first, let's answer some questions to end this episode right. All right, Jack B asks, what are some games that you are most hyped for before the release or followed the development of? Did they live up to the expectations?
Just in general, just any JRPG that we followed?
Any game. I think just any game in general. We could talk about any game.
Ah, what are some games you are most hyped for before the release or followed the development of?
Yep.
I would say, and I think you probably agree with this, the game that I was, that I followed probably more than anything was Final Fantasy 15. I remember, I mean, we were there. Actually, I watched it at your house when they re-revealed it as 15 when they changed the name.
Was that the 2015 E3?
Or was that 2013.
It was 2013?
Okay. Yeah.
Because holy crap. 2015's, those couple of years were just insane.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, okay, just to keep this question short, I'll give two answers in the same series. So 15, I was so hyped for. I followed absolutely everything. I made a big video about it. I remember, I'm not even joking, that 2013 trailer, the one where, like, Noctis dives through the window and it's all, like, he's teleporting all over the place. I think I watched that literally every day for, like, a year because I was just so excited. And I think that in the time that I played it, I think I just was, had a little bit of Stockholm syndrome where I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I got the platinum trophy, but, like, looking back on it, I'm like, the story's not very good. It feels unfinished. And I'd be really interested to go back now that you can control the different party members and play all the DLC and stuff. But I still don't think, it can save the story. Like, the story, they just made some really weird story decisions, especially with, like, the movie and the anime and stuff. It's like, why was that not in the game? So that was one I was really hyped for that let me down. Go ahead.
I said it was really interesting that story. I was so sad because, like, this story could have been so cool. It could have been so cool, but it was like they just rushed it. Pissed me off.
Yeah. There were so many better, like, I mean, in the movie, they do the attack on the city where they're stealing the crystal. I'm like, that should have been the opening of the game. That would have been awesome.
Originally,
It was, yeah. I don't know why they changed it. Stupid. They probably ran out of time, honestly. I guess, screw it. Just make them push a car.
See, that's how, like, the intro could have been that attack, and then they escape on the car, and it fades out, and you see the credits, and, or you see the topic, or the title, and the credits and everything, and it starts up, and then they're pushing the car.
Yep, exactly. God, that would have been so much better.
Yes. And I wanted, I really did want to, like, explore the world when, I forgot what happened, when demons were everywhere.
Oh, yeah, like, when after he came back from the sleep or whatever.
Yeah, whatever would happen. Yeah. I wanted to explore that. I wanted to see Demon Hunter, what's her name?
Oh, Iris or Iris?
Yeah, they called her, like, Demon Hunter Iris.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to see that.
Nope. I know, me too. And then don't show it.
Nope. Games? Oh, what is your other game?
And the other one was Final Fantasy VII Remake. Again, you were there when they announced it. I remember, like, being so excited. And it took a while, but I think, honestly, I was a little annoyed right after I finished the game at the ending. I was like, what the fuck was that ending, especially with all the ghosts and stuff, but, like, as time has gone on, like, it doesn't bother me as much. I'm like, okay, they're, like, doing a new thing, But like all the moments that they did recreate and all the new moments they added that like happened in 7, but you never actually saw it happen, like when Aerith goes and saves Marlene at the bar in Sector 7 and stuff, like, man, some of those scenes were so powerful. Like the way, like just seeing all those characters in like super high fidelity, seeing all those areas in super high resolution, the music, like my God, the music is amazing. So that was one I definitely was really hyped for and totally lived up to the
idea. Yeah, far surpassed, you know.
Surpassed, yeah.
Surpassed it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting like a straight up remake. I did not expect it to take as many liberties as it did and change things, but like, man, like the parts they nailed, they nailed so hard, man. Like freaking Wall Market is unbelievably good. Anything with Aerith is really good. Yeah, it was awesome. What about you, Nick?
No, I was saying, remember when this happened recently when I was showing you Intergrade?
Oh yeah.
The PS5, and I was just playing it. I'm like, man, you feel that these developers were passionate about making this game. You just feel it. You're like, this game had passion behind it. And there's games where you don't feel passion behind it, like Tales of Arise.
No,
I'm joking. The first story part of Tales of Arise feels awesome. And something happens in the second part. I just don't know what happened. And that's when you feel like, oh, they're in crunch mode. That's what it felt like.
Well, you know, I heard a really interesting take about that. Somebody said, like, you know, if it ended after, like, you know, you're collecting all the MacGuffins and then you finally get to the final one and then it's like part two of the game. This guy was saying, like, it's almost like they had a much bigger budget than they've ever had. And like, what do we do? Oh, I don't know. We just add more stuff, I guess. Because like, if it ended right there, like that probably would have been like a super nice, tight game. But then the game just drags. I still believe it's the best Tales game. It's a really great game. But man, that second part of the game, there's some story moments that just drag so hard.
It was just another Vesperia where the ending was just awful. Oh, I know, but good conclusion, like good conclusion, but getting to like that part after that inter part, getting there was just painful. So painful.
Bandai Namco has this problem. Well, at least their most recent games, like this happened with Arise and with Scarlet Nexus. They just like get so into the weeds and they just make up all this dumb jargon. And like by the end, I'm like, I don't even know what's happening anymore. Like when Scarlet Nexus was over, I'm like, dude, I don't even know what's happening. And like, I think Tales of Arise was like at the tipping point of being like stupid, but like didn't go all the way over. But it's like, dude, you guys should have way backed off on some of that stuff because it like didn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, about living up to expectations,
yes.
Before everyone else, followed Stardew Valley.
That's right. You and I, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. We knew about Stardew Valley before everyone was like, ooh, Stardew Valley. Mm-hmm. We were like, ooh, cool. A indie Harvest Moon game that looks actually good. And it's going to have online or has co-op. That's cool. And we followed it up until release. And it met my expectations. Didn't release with co-op, never have played co-op, but it felt like a really good, a really well-made, someone who loved Harvest Moon and wanted to make their own. That's what it felt like.
Yep.
It was good. Games you're hyped for before release, follow the development of.
Any that didn't live up?
No, I was just thinking about Unreal Tournament 3. I followed that. Definitely lived up to my expectation, or kind of. It was all right. It was good. I enjoyed it a lot, and I felt like it didn't. It got killed by Call of Duty 4. You know, the original Modern Warfare when Call of Duty became Call of Duty.
Yeah, when it took off. Yeah,
yeah. And it came out the same year. And oh man, but I followed the development of the Unreal Tournament 4 that they were making, and it got cut off. It got canceled because of Fortnite Battle Royale. And it was living up to my expectations, by the way. That's good. I don't really follow games other than back in the day when I used to follow Chucklefish stuff. I followed before Chucklefish started becoming a publisher. They were making Starbound. I was following that.
Starbound, yeah.
And that amazing music has a great soundtrack. And it just got too big for its britches and just didn't live up to expectation. It didn't feel as complete and full like Terraria did. So it didn't meet my expectations, but the music, oh, the music's so good. You gotta listen to that music. The piano, the orchestral stuff, not like the gamey stuff. You gotta listen to like the piano stuff.
Yeah.
So good. Let's go to the next question. Knickknack asks, if you are forced to put one JRPG in your collection into the microwave, which game would it be? Taylor, you cannot say Time of Eternity.
I don't even think I have a physical copy of it.
I thought you had a PS3 copy of it. Like an actual physical copy.
Maybe I did. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's one that I really am like, I hate that this is in my collection. I don't know. Like, see, like I keep, there's one game that I keep as like a reminder, and that's Lightning Returns on Final Fantasy on PS3. And I keep it as a reminder of like, remember how bad it was. It's so you can appreciate how good it is right now. Because people are like, man, JRPGs suck. And I was like, dude, do you remember the PS3? That was a garbage generation. So I don't think I would want to put it in the microwave because I always want to keep it as a reminder. But maybe Trails of Cold Steel on PS4, because that was the second time I bought it and I still didn't like it. So maybe that.
maybe that. I was going to say, what was a game that, I don't remember. Oh, no, White Knight Chronicles. Didn't you have that?
Oh, no, I sold that, like, almost immediately. It was terrible. Yeah. Yeah, if I still had White Knight Chronicles, it would have been that. That was a disgrace.
How about The Last Story?
I don't hate The Last Story. It was just meh. Like, meh. It didn't, like, annoy me. It was just like, yeah, okay, that was fine.
You know what I would do?
What would you do?
The PS3 collection of Tales of Symphonia.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I have the GameCube version. And that's good enough for me. I didn't really play the PS3 version because it just felt dirty to me.
Well, I know you have a hatred towards that game that has nothing to do with the game itself, but... Mm.
I mean, I played the GameCube version really far. It is, compared to the GameCube version, it just felt off. I don't know why. It just did. So that's why. All right. Gotcha. Surreal Killer asks, Nick, give us the lowdown on why Legend of Heroes fell from grace. Second question, possibly for another episode. But can you share your PS1 emulation setup? Any challenges running your faves? I think the first question is another episode. I'm not going to answer that because it's not really fell from grace. It's just my opinion on it kind of changed. My emulation setup, I use DuckStation. I run it, I think, 5 times the resolution. So it's 1080p, nothing bigger. I use all the geometry fixes. So it's not, on it doesn't wobble and everything like that, and the textures look great. Any challenges running my faves? I noticed that when I use the geometry fixes that Grandia, the text boxes kind of like wobble, and I don't know why, and I'm like, aw, that sucks. But I can still play it, just turn off the geometry fixes, you know.
Sure.
Other than that, that DuckStation runs great. So if you want to emulate your PS1 games that you rip yourselves, you know, I don't encourage piracy. All the games that I own are ripped straight from my discs. PS1 DuckStation, use DuckStation because I use PSXE and it didn't work well. DuckStation works the best, easy setup. PS2 emulation is where I ran a challenging running some games. Some games you have to mess with features to make them look good and actually run well. The Tales of Destiny 2 has a weird bug where the background will disappear, so you're running on blackness and you don't know why. Don't know why it does it, but fixing it. Some games do that. PS3 emulation, it's just not there yet for the games that I want to play.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks great. Like, I could get the Tales games to look really, like, run really well, but it freezes. And I don't know why it freezes. But, so that just kind of makes it just, don't run it yet.
I think it's probably just, I mean, the PS3, the cell processor or whatever, I think it was just so hard to develop for. So I think it's challenging to emulate.
It's crazy because there's some games that run perfect, but for some reason there's the Tales games messes with it. Because this is what I learned when I was messing with it. In the overworld, when you're running around, it runs at 30 FPS. It's locked at 30 FPS. But when it goes to battles, it goes to 60 FPS. So I can't hard lock it at 30 FPS because when I play, and then if I go to a battle, the battles are like all in slow-mo. And I had to fix that. I'm like, what the hell? How do I fix it? And then when I wanted to lock it at 60 FPS, the overworld was like running at, like, you know, super speed, and this wasn't playable. So I had to, like, do some weird mixing and matching of features where in the overworld it runs at 30, and then in the battle system it runs at 60. I don't know how I did it, but I did it, and it works, but then it freezes. So it's just the game itself. It's not the emulator. They need to fix it so the game works with it, like certain hacks. I just gotta wait a couple of years, then I'll do it. Cheese Hero Zero asks, holiday question. What is the most memorable game you connect with the holiday season? For me, it's Parasite Eve. I got it for Christmas when it came out and played it during the holiday break. It blew me away, and the game takes place during Christmas time in New York City, which probably helps cement it as a holiday memory. Mine aren't JRPGs, so I gotta... I'll talk about that. Talk it after you.
It's a good question, because, like, I always used to do this thing. I haven't done it in the last couple of years, but I used to have this tradition for myself where over the holiday break, I would pick a JRPG and I would just marathon it. And it was just so fun.
What was the first time you did that? Which game was it?
I think it was Dragon's Dogma, weirdly enough. That's not real. I mean, it's technically a JRPG, but not really.
So you started this tradition during the PS3 era when you came back.
Yeah. Yeah. But honestly, I think probably, I mean, I probably Final Fantasy VII or Legend of Dragoon, just because I played those the most, and I probably inevitably played them over the break at some point, just because I had more free time. So probably those two games.
Did you ever get a game from Christmas and start playing it?
You know, I don't really have a memory like that, like a game that I got on Christmas that I really wanted. And mainly, I mean, this is just fortune or whatever you want to call it, of where my birthday lands. But my birthday is like 3 weeks before Christmas. So usually if there was a game I wanted, I got it for my birthday. Like, I know I got Final Fantasy VII for my birthday. I can't really remember much else. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
All the JRPGs we got were for my brother's birthday, and that was always from you.
Yeah, I remember Grandia for sure. I got him Grandia, and then I can't remember if there was anything else.
You got him Tales of Destiny, dude.
Oh, really?
You
okay.
Did. You got him Tales of Destiny, and you didn't buy it yourself, which is really interesting.
What do you mean? My mom bought it? What do you mean?
Meaning you bought it for him, but you've never played it.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why you got it, but hey, thank you.
Sure. You're welcome.
For me, there's Killing Floor 1.
Killing Floor, okay.
It was a holiday tradition for a while where we would just play, you know, a couple games because there's it has a Christmas event where all the enemies are Christmas themed, and there's like Christmas music playing in the background and everything when you're killing them, and it's really funny. I love it. It was a fun little thing. I wish we could do it more often with you guys if you wanted. I would totally do that. And another one is an actual memory is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3.
Mm.
It's because I got the PlayStation 2 at Christmas and Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 with it, and I just played it. And I was like, I got a PS2. I'm so happy. Yeah. So, have you played Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 lately?
Me? Yeah, those games still hold up really well. Like, even though they don't, like, always run the best, like, man, Tony Hawk is so fun.
Play Tony Hawk 3, it's still great. It runs perfect, and it's great. Even on PS2, it just runs great.
Oh, on PS2, yeah, the PS2 one runs awesome. The PS1 ones are a little janky, but yeah, the Tony Hawk on PS3, or on PS3, on PS2, yeah, even 4, like, 4 is not as good. Like, the level design got kind of weird, but 3 is awesome. Yeah. But he's probably the best.
And then you play it, and you can beat it in, like, a day. And I mean, not unlock everything, but just get your fill, and yeah, you're good. And not even within a day, it's a couple hours.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long to beat those games. But yeah, like you said, the real challenge is, like, getting all the secret tapes, all the skate letter, like, all the stuff. Like, doing everything.
Unlocking
yeah.
all the characters and secret levels.
That's right. I forgot about those, like Spider-Man, Wolverine, and all that stuff.
There's a lot in Tony Hawk 3. It's crazy.
Mm.
But I know that Taylor needs to leave because he has plans, and we've actually been running pretty long, so it was a perfect time to end it. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back with our Game of the Year episode, which, you know, we're going to have one out this week, and we're going to have one out next week, so look forward to it.
Amazing. Back-to-back weeks.
Oh,
what's
my
going
gosh.
On?
Crazy, right? So, hopefully, have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. And we will see you next week. Laters.
Later.